I didn't know this was the moment, but this is the moment, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. Okay, anyway. Sit, have a seat, please. Wait a minute, I got to put my shoe on. All right, hello. Glory to God. It's good to be used of God, isn't it? But I did have something from the Lord that he wanted me to share. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, you can turn there. It says that we were delivered out of darkness and translated over into the kingdom of God's dear Son. All right, so we know the story of the gospel. We understand that we were all in sin on our way to hell, that we were in the kingdom of darkness and we had no way out on our own. There was nothing we could do to earn it. There was nothing we could do, nothing we could do. God knew that. And say, God wrapped himself in flesh, became man, and came into the world and did the and went through the process, like Sarah said yesterday, to get to Calvary, to become sin for us who knew no sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. So at the moment when we accepted that gospel, believe that Jesus died for us, believe that Jesus rose again from the dead, then we were catapulted out of darkness, amen, into God's marvelous light and into the kingdom of Christ. Isn't that right? When that happened, we were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Jesus Christ came into our lives by his Spirit. And we were sealed with him. And then we were introduced to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, got filled up with the Holy Spirit, amen, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And so we had the power of God on the inside of us. We are the redeemed. We are the redeemed. We are filled up with God. There is nothing lacking in us. Because we're filled up with God. It is then our responsibility to continue in the Word and be his disciples indeed. Amen? So that means we're continuing, as we continue in the Word, then we continue to be followers of Christ. Because you know there are believers who can be in, who have accepted Jesus and not be following Jesus. Because they are not continuing in the Word. God has given us in the earth everything we need to live victorious, Christ-centered lives here in this earth. With all that's going on in our world, he has empowered us on the inside with his Spirit. He has given us his precious Word so that we can read it and study it every single day, and so that we can continue to look at him, so that we continue to be led by his Spirit, so that we continue to hear him and do what he says to do and say what he says to say. We have all the power that we need to do everything that God has called us to do. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it in the power of Christ. In the power of Christ, we stand. In the power of Christ, we stand. But this gospel is not for a Sunday message. This gospel is not just for a Sunday fix. This gospel is for us to take into a world that is still lost, that does not know Jesus. And if you don't know it by now, there are really two kingdoms. The kingdom of hell, which is ruled by the god of this world, Satan, and the kingdom of light, which is ruled by Christ. There is no mixing of the two. A And hell and the devil and his and those who are in his kingdom are going to do all that they can to do what they do, which is bring death and to bring hell on earth. That's the devil's job. And to do everything that he can to hit on God, because he hates God. So, we're the children of God. If he can't get to him, how else would he get to him? But we have been empowered with the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God, and we should know by now how to combat and also keep the devil under our feet and go forth into this world with the gospel, because God loves every one of those in the kingdom of darkness, and he wants them out. And we are the ones who are supposed to be telling them. We are the ones who are supposed to be showing the shim, ladies. Isn't that right? All right, so we are the ones who are supposed to be so filled up with God every day, not just on Sunday during a 10:30 service, but every day. We're supposed to be so filled up with God and so filled up with the Word of God so that we go forth and be the living epistles of Christ that he has called us to be. Our world needs Jesus. The only ones who are going to give our world Jesus is us. So we need to be fully armed. We need to be studying the Word. We need to be taking time in prayer. We need to be worshiping God. So that as we go forth into the world where God has called each one of us to go in our different places, we're there on purpose. We're positioned by God on purpose. Where you are, the people that you're around, the lives that you touch every day is on purpose. So you must understand our job here in the earth. It is time for the church to take its post and stand up and be the church. Every single day, tell people about Jesus. Do they want to hear about Jesus if they're in the kingdom of hell and doing things on the devil's command? No, but that does not matter. It matters that we tell them about Jesus. And then we show through our lifestyle, filled up with the Holy Ghost, full of the Word, moving forward under the anointing every day, not just on Sunday. Keeping it before their eyes so that they see Jesus every day. They see him walking. They see him talking. They are touched by Jesus every day. That's our job. That's why we're here in the earth. So we're to get the Word of God. We're so supposed to be eating this Word up. Don't tell me you've been in church more than 2 days and you don't know at least John chapter 3, verse 16. Then don't tell me that you've been in church a whole year and you don't know even the books of the Bible. Now you know I would fuss. Don't tell me. Don't tell me you're full of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues and you can't tell your neighbor about Jesus. Just don't do it. We're here on purpose. Just for a season. And then our lives are gone. What will you have done for Jesus? That's the only thing that will last. So do your job. you are Christians, then be a Christian. We got everything we need. We lack nothing. We have all the power, all the glory, all the anointing. We've got God on the inside. Stand up and be who you're called to be. In Jesus' name.
Praise the Lord.
That's my man.
Well, November 14th will be 34 years. And I can tell you, not a day has passed that we haven't told each other we love each other. I'm going to ask you to stand for a minute. And I want you to go to someone or turn to someone that you did not come into the sanctuary or, you know, came up to RLCC with. Go to somebody you didn't come up here with. Just turn to them. If you didn't come up with the person next to you, fine. Turn to them. But just turn. Now, hold. Now, just turn to them. See what I mean? I didn't say anything yet, but I know y'all already engaged. But just turn to them for a moment. Turn to them. Look at them. I know I shouldn't see anybody's eyes looking at me. Because you're looking at the person you've turned to. Please, look at them. And say this to them. I am so glad that you're here, and I believe if you open up your heart to receive what the Spirit of God will say today, that you won't leave this place the way you came. I also want you to know that I am so glad that God has given me this opportunity to look at an original design, one of a kind, rare, special, precious person. And that's you.
And that's you.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.
Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, sometimes you just need to be reminded. Because sometimes we get caught up in doing so many things, seeing so many people, looking in the mirror after so many years. Hello. And you begin to say, well, you know, this is getting a little gray. Or I don't have as much as I used to have. Or I got more than I used to have. But you got to remember, you are an original. One of a kind, precious jewel that God sent to the planet. And so though you go through seasons that we call life, my goodness. Oh, think about this for a minute. You got to close your eyes for a moment. And you may say, why am I closing my eyes? Because what I want you to see, you can't see with your eyes. You can't see it with your eyes. So close them. Now I want you, while your eyes are closed, to see your heart. When you see your heart, raise your hand. Put your hands down. Open your eyes. I realize some raised their hands and some did not. The Word of God says, well, turn to it. Romans chapter 10. Let's just jump in. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. My. Romans chapter 10. And let's just pick up at verse, we can jump in anywhere. Let's pick up at verse 5. Romans chapter 10, verse 5. And I'm going to begin reading it out of the New King James Version. Whatever version you have, you just sort of follow along with me, please. For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does those things shall live by them. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? That is, to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Selah. Notice here it says, the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. I ask the simple question, how many could see your heart? And some raised their hands and some didn't. But if what God's word says is so, and it said, you can confess with your mouth. Everybody, when you look in the mirror, you see your mouth. And you know when you make a confession with your mouth. Correct, right? But it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness. Come on, come on. Oh, God. How many here believe that you're a spirit? That means every day that comes, 365 plus 1 and 24 hours a day, you believe that you're a spirit. And you know that you ain't never seen your spirit. Never. And guess what? You ain't never seen your heart. I'm not talking about the pump. And yet, God says that with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. God told Samuel, Sam, Saul blew it. I'm sending you down to Jesse's house, and you're going to anoint one of his sons to be the king. So, of course, Sam went down to Jesse's house. He gets down to Jesse's house and says, Jesse, where are your sons? So he brings out his sons. This, of course, is a loose Lewis translation, so you won't read it exactly like that. But he brings out his sons, and Eliab shows up. You know, he's standing in line. Looking good. You know what I'm talking about? And Sam said, hey, he look good. He must be the one. And the Lord said, Sam, come here. So Sam says to Jesse, excuse me, Jesse, I'll be right back. And he goes over, and the Lord says, Samuel, you looking at the outer appearance. Come on, man. I don't see like you see. I see the heart. I see the heart. He's not the one. So once he goes, now notice this. He's go back and evaluates the other boys. And then eventually says, Jesse, you got another boy somewhere. And he says, yeah, he's out there with the sheep. Send for him. David walks in. And the Lord says, he's the one. It didn't even take Samuel to see it. The Lord said, he's the one. Now, what am I saying to you? Oh, God. The importance of recognizing the need for God in you. Because in order for you to see like he sees, you need to have him to see for you. Okay, you didn't get it. I know you ain't thought about that before. You don't even have to say it. You haven't thought about needing God to see for you. Because you said, well, I got eyes. I can see. God already says, look, you don't see like I see. I see the heart. And if that's important to God, it needs to be important to us. But notice, God told him, you don't see like I see. I see the heart.
Amen.
And I'm sharing that from the perspective. Sometimes we think we can do life without him. Don't you? You know you do. You know, sometimes you think you can do this thing yourself. Some of us remember the times when we did and went full steam ahead, didn't we? I mean, couldn't nobody tell you nothing? Mama couldn't tell you nothing. Daddy couldn't tell you nothing. Because this is my life. Child, I'm going to live it the way I want to live it. When I get old enough, you've been dragging me to church. Hey, when I get old enough, I only see no more hypocrites. I'm out of here. I'm going to do my thing. And you went into the big city where all the lights were. And you started doing your thing. You know what I'm saying? Whatever you thought you were big enough to do. I know nobody can identify with this. I'm just trying to paint a picture. But you did what you thought you were big enough to do, didn't you? And all of a sudden you woke up one day and you said to self, self, what in the world are you doing? You about to kill yourself. Guess what? If you kill you, you kill me. You ain't get it. You know what I'm saying? You look in the mirror and you look like you've been up all night. Several nights. Does that, oh, come on. I know you tried to forget that. I'm putting you in remembrance from whence you've come so you can get a greater appreciation for where you are. Did you understand what I'm saying? And the key is we are where we are. Because, not just because we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. There you go. Because we believed in our heart that he's the Son of God. That God raised him from the dead. And yet, you can't even see your heart. God sees it. Did you hear what I said? When you begin to recognize that you need God to see for you, then that will change your perspective on the relationship between you and God.
Yes.
Let me give you an illustration. Do we have anyone in who might be sightless? I mean, officially, whatever, as the world would say, you're blind, you're sightless. Anybody? No one. Okay. Let me give an illustration. Please, my brother, if you don't mind, you come right up and help me. All right. Now, I'm going to be blind, okay? And I want you to, I got to go to the men's room. Can you help me? Okay.
Here we go.
Where you want me to go?
Going straight ahead.
Oh, okay.
Follow me.
Okay.
Here we
are. Okay. And what am I doing now? What?
To the men's room.
Okay. Okay.
Straight ahead.
All right.
Just hold on to my arm.
Hold on to your arm. Okay. All right. Thank you. That's enough. Thank you. What happened there? I had to depend upon the one who could see. I had to ask him, where are we going? What do I have to do? I had to listen for some instructions because I was depending upon him. Did you get it? When you are in a relationship with God and you acknowledge, God, I need you to see for me, because everything that's important to you, the recesses of what you see, is so important to you until you have tied it in with my eternity. Are you getting it?
Yes.
Oh, God. So when we see in the scriptures, as you read through it, and you see where it talks about a stubborn heart, a perfect heart, a stiff-necked people, serving with your whole heart, love God with all your heart. Are you getting the picture?
Yes.
He's saying, love me with the recesses of who you are. My goodness. Not just your mind. Not just your flesh. But the part of you that you've never seen. The part of you you've never seen. Did you hear what I said? The reason that we sing, Holy Spirit, we need your presence, is because sometimes we don't recognize. Jesus said, I'll pray the Father to send you another comforter, the Spirit of truth, who will not only be with you, but shall be where? In you. Now, let me ask a question. Do you believe it? Have you seen him? Do you believe it? Lord have mercy. That's the key, y'all. That's why the scripture says over in 2 Corinthians, I believe it is, and it says, don't look at those things which you see, for they're temporary. They're subject to change. Look at that which you cannot see, for that is eternal. Yes. How are we going to get there? Praise the Lord. After 34 years, glory to God. Let's do the illustration. Do a simple illustration of faith, believing, trusting. Simple illustration. Okay. You share.
He's going to play the part of God. And
okay.
That's not
all right. And then I'll share the rest.
Yes.
Okay. Watch, please, with us.
Right.
That's
one.
I'll do it.
Okay.
In my lesson. It's the Holy Ghost lesson, but you follow. Now notice, please. I'm playing the part of God. This is Pastor Marlene's future. She's facing where? Her past. Let me ask a simple question. Where, before we get there, before we get to this point, where did your past, when did your past end?
When
you met Christ, okay. When did your past end?
1 second.
There you go. Everybody said, what'd she say, what'd she say? One person said their past end when they accepted Christ. Another person says 1 second ago. And you're correct. Do you think about it? As a matter of fact, when I ask her, has now been in the past. When does your future begin? It does not. One moment from now. Now that future has become my past. All I have is now. Did you get it? Now faith is. Hello? Now faith is. And the just shall live by faith. Now faith is. All you've got is now. Did you get it?
Yes.
Now, let's give the illustration. I'm looking at Pastor Marlene's future. She sees her past. We're hooked together in a relationship. She has believed in her heart that even though she can't see her heart, her spirit, she can't see it, but she believed, and therefore she's saved, born again. She must live by faith. Instructions, God says, go forward. What does she do? Did you hear me? What does she do? She went backwards. She moved in a direction that she was looking. You didn't hear it. When you get caught up in looking where you've been, you cannot necessarily hear the instruction of the one who sees where you need to be going. Are you getting the connect? That's why you need God to see for you. Let's continue. Now, once she comes to a realization that she ain't going back, okay? So let's go forward. Stop. Notice. Who did she have to trust? Who moved into her future? Who else? You get it? Not only God, she did too. Come on, come on, come on. You'll get it. Oh my goodness. So the God who's in you now is the one who sees where you've got to go. And he's not going where you got to go by himself. He wants to go and take you with him. Did you get it? My goodness. Then you can understand why when you walk by faith, there is a R-E-S-T. There's a rest. Why is there a rest? Because you know I'm leaning on the one who sees for me. I'm leaning on the one who not only is in my now, but he's already been in my future. He never left me because nothing is impossible for him. So he can, by his spirit, be in me in my now and yet be in my future and moving things and positioning things and setting up things. And so when you are in a place of standstill and you're saying, God, why am I still where I was? What's happening? What's going on? Oh, God. If you shut up for just a few moments, you may hear him say, I got this. Wait, I say, on the Lord. You ain't hear it. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Because he knows what's ahead. And when you're hooked in with him, come on, you may not even realize it until you're there and you looking back there and you see, oh my goodness, there was an accident just right there. If I had moved when I wanted to move, I could have been caught up in the middle of that accident. Do you hear what I say? I'll give you a classic illustration. A few years back, a lot of years back, I was moving from Washington, D.C. to New York. This was in the early 70s. And I lived in D.C., I was going to a party in Northwest DC, and I thought I was going to pick up some friends, and we were going on to the party. So I got there, and they said, oh, Joe, the party's for you. You know, it's right here, the party's for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, I said, okay. And I got high. Oh, my God. Hello. got high. And at a point, I must have said, you know, I'm ready to go home. And I had a little green Volkswagen. And I got in the Volkswagen, pulled off. The next thing I knew, I was from the middle of D.C. out in Maryland. Next morning, in a, let's just say, a precarious situation. And I look, I said, how did I get here? It wasn't until I got to New York and I saw some friends who were there. And I asked them, come on, y'all, tell me what happened. Oh, no. And they said, when you were getting ready to leave, we kept asking, you want somebody to drive you home? You want somebody to take you home, Joe Williams? And I kept telling them, no, I got it. I got it. I'm all right. And I got in the Volkswagen. And it was at night. From their vantage point, they saw nobody else in the car. From my vantage point, I didn't even know I was in the car. Hello. So a person who didn't even know they were in the car ended up pulling off and ending up in Maryland. I know none of you have ever been in that situation. My point is this. I had confessed with my mouth the Lord Jesus. I believed in my heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Had done that a lot of years before that situation arose. But because of my lack of knowledge, because of the decision point, get this, please. Satan can, first of all, you need to recognize Satan's power is limited. That's the first thing you need to recognize. And his power can come no further than your point of decision. You didn't hear me. His influence over you can come no further than your decision point, your point of decision. Somebody says, well, what is that point of decision? Your will. W-I-L-L. You think about it. Any situation comes to your mind. If you didn't will to do what he suggested you do, he would have no effect on you. He would have had no effect on you. Did you get it?
Yes.
You can think about anything, and you know that's the truth, right? And I'm saying to you, in the midst of our missing the correct decision point, the God who sees your future, he already knows his purposes and plans for your life. You didn't get it. So in the early 70s, when I was acting crazy, not even using a little wisdom and making decisions that weren't even favorable for me, guess who? Guess who was looking out for me? That's why when I got to New York and when I started going to the church on 145th Street, and I would come out of Queens, because that's where I lived, on the subway, and I would go out, come in the morning for the 11 o'clock service and go home, and on first Sundays they had communion, and I would come out of the communion service standing on the platform of 145th and Convent, 145th and St. Nicholas, standing on the platform just crying, tears streaming down. And I'm saying, God, why do you love me? God, why do you love me? Oh, God, why? Why me? What am I saying to you? Be real, y'all. All of us have had a point when we question God as to why me. I've come to find out so many years later that God had a plan. God had a purpose. God is the one who sent me to the planet. When you come to the realization that God sent you to the planet, my goodness, you'll begin to understand that he never intended for you to live life without him. He never intended for you to live life without him. When Adam was in the garden and he gave Adam that command and the serpent was there and all that took place, and God showed back up in the garden and he said to Adam, Adam, because you hearkened to the voice of your wife and did not do what I commanded you to do, this earth is cursed. Somebody could say, well, God wasn't in the garden. I mean, you know what I'm talking about? It says, and Adam heard the voice of God walking in the garden. So God wasn't there. Hello. He spoke to Adam a command. The word God spoke to Adam resonated in Adam. It resided in Adam. Adam had the presence of God in him by his word. He knew what God said. And he was held accountable. You didn't get the connect. Hello? You have the word of God in you. Don't you ever let anybody tell you God is not holding you accountable. Did you hear what I just said? Don't let anybody ever tell you God is not holding you accountable. It does not eliminate his grace. It does not eliminate his mercy. But don't you fool yourself. Did you hear what I just said? For some reason, we get the idea that there's no judgment seat of Christ. There's no white throne judgment. Hey, y'all, Pastor Lynn used to say, you think you're just going to go through here tiptoeing through the tulips. You got to be crazy. There's an accountability, y'all. You know you got accountability on your job. You go in there and tiptoe through the tulips and you find out how long you be there. You're going to send you some pink slips and have you tiptoe out of there. Isn't that true? If you owned your own business, if you have your own business, how many employees you going to let come in there and be on a cell phone and be looking up what they got to do on your time? And you just going to sit there and say, well, I hired them, but, you know, they just wanted some time to look at the internet and do what they wanted to do. So I guess I better answer all the phones. You know, and I'll ask them when they're finished. Are you finished? You got a few moments? And everybody laughing. You know you laughing. Because you say you got to be crazy. Now flip it. Does God have to interrupt you? Excuse me. You got a few minutes for me? Let me know when I can interrupt you, if you don't mind. I just want a few minutes of your time. I don't hear nobody laughing. But you hear what I'm saying. We begin to recognize our relationship with God should be so intimate. Do you follow what I'm saying? It should be so intimate that, God, I understand a little better when you say the just shall live by faith. Because I recognize when it says, now faith is, that faith is always now. Because that's all I have is now. Because in one moment, I've moved from my past. In the next moment, I'm into my future. Next moment, that future has become my past. And I'm into another one. But you, God, decided that you would take up residence in me, that you would see for me those things I cannot see. So as I look at the you I can't see, God, I'm trusting you. I'm believing in you with the heart, with the spirit that I cannot see. Oh, God, help me to see what I cannot see. Because what I cannot see is more real than what I'm looking at. I'm sharing this because we've got to recognize you can get so caught up on what you see and miss all that God has for you. He said in 2 Peter chapter 1, he's given you exceedingly great and precious promises. It says that he's given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given it to you. Wait, do you believe it? If you believe it, then that means you are acknowledging God. You said, you've given me, not you will give me. You have given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. You've given me exceedingly great and precious promises. Not you will give me. You've given me. Wait a minute. But you know what we're doing? We're waiting till we can see it. We're waiting until we can feel it. Aren't we? Yes, we are. Be real. God knows it. We're waiting till we can see it. We're waiting till we can feel it. We're waiting until we can smell it. We're waiting till we can touch it. God says, you have it. I've given it to you. Now that will make you stop and think for a moment. That means you can look at all the stuff you've accumulated. Do you understand what I said? You can't just look at all the stuff you've accumulated. You can't look at just all the things you've seen. God says, I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. I've given you exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these, by what? These exceedingly great and precious promises, you might be what? A partaker of my divine nature. Wait. Because when somebody says, the word of God says, and do you become a perfect man, full measure, stature of Christ? Well, you can't anybody be perfect, y'all. Come on. Anybody be perfect? I'm just human. You know what I'm talking about? I'm just human. That's your problem. Because you don't believe that he's given you exceedingly great and precious promises. But by these, you might be a partaker of his what? Divine nature. At some point, you're going to have to recognize God desires you to be a partaker of his divine nature, not just be a human nature. Why limit yourself? Be a partaker of his divine nature, the divine nature that rests in you. You'll get it in a minute. Are you following me? You're more than what you see. You hear what I say?
Yeah.
When you look in the mirror, you can dress up the outward. Stand there for a minute. Just look and say, guess what? I'm more than what I see. I'm more than what I see. Scripture says, though this outward man perishes, this inward man is being renewed day by day. It's being renewed day by day. This part of me that's a partaker of the divine nature is being renewed day by day. And after a while, you know what? Your outward man will begin to radiate. Because the light of Christ in you will begin to shine forward. The love of God that was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost who God gave you will be shed abroad in your heart. And guess what? It'll eventually penetrate. And somebody will say, girl, there's something different about you. I don't know what it is. Something different about you. I mean, you're just different. I can't put my finger on it. but there's something different about you. I don't know what it is. And you can tell. I've come to realize I've had so much in me that God said I had, and I didn't realize I had it because I didn't feel it and I didn't see it with my natural eyes. But I found out that I can believe it. And even though I didn't see it, I'm enjoying it. As a matter of fact, I'm in a relationship with the one who's seeing for me. That'll get them. Because they're going to ask, I didn't know you were blind. I didn't know you didn't have no sight. Honey, I got a sight now. Come on, come on, come on.
All right. All right.
And if somebody says, and you think I'm crazy, don't even wake me. Let me go on. Are you getting it?
Yes.
Remember, all you have is now. And faith is now. God is with you now. He sees for you now. His presence is in you now. My God. Every step you take, every place you go, his presence is in you. So you can talk to him on the inside. You know what I'm saying? Even when you can't open your mouth and say, God, you know, I know you're there, but he knows every thought you have. He knows every intent and motive behind the thought. So when you carry on that conversation with me, myself, and I, do like the king did with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When he put the three in the fiery furnace, and the king looked in there and said, how many did we put in there? Didn't we put three in there? I see four. And the fourth one looks like the Son of God.
Whoa.
Then you need to understand in you, there's more than three. Me, myself, and I. There's a fourth one there. And he looks like. And he looks like the Son of God. So when the three of you are holding this conversation, and neither one of you will have good sense anyway, you know, because I know. Well, you know, they told me I need to put it over here, and they told me I need to put it over there. What do you think? What do you think, myself?
Man, I tell you, it's up to me. What I do.
Well, what do you say?
Oh, man, you got me in a hard spot. Oh, you know, come on.
Hey, y'all, why don't we just ask God? God, by your Spirit, lead us. See for us. You know the way we should go. Order our steps in this situation. We're trusting you. We're leaning the entire of our human personality on you, God, through Christ Jesus. In absolute trust and confidence in your power, in your goodness, and in your wisdom. Second Timothy, 3rd chapter, 15th verse, amplified. The leaning of your entire human personality on God through Christ Jesus in absolute trust and confidence in God's power, God's goodness, and God's wisdom. Try it. you will like it. Try it. You will like it.